Fry and Brachfeld Parishes podcast.
Good morning. When learning in Gates of Yeshiva, there was one boy who came from a very different background. Both of his parents were not religious, and he decided to join the yeshiva. He was once approached and asked, "Is there anything which impressed you that you decided to come closer to Yiddishkeit? What was it? Was there something which you saw?" And he gave a very, very interesting answer. He said, "I once came and visited a yeshiva or a shul, and there was a boy who was sitting and learning. In front of him he had a box of tissues. The friend of this learning boy approached him and asked him, 'Excuse me, sorry for disturbing, do you mind if I take a tissue?' And he said, 'Of course, biggest pleasure, please take.' He said, this impressed him a lot. This integrity of asking permission before you use something, the honesty, is something which he didn't see by his friends. They would just grab. And this made him explore more Yiddishkeit till he eventually joined the yeshiva. What I want to explore with you today is one really obliged to ask permission before taking a tissue? What about the pen? My friend left the pen on the table. I want to take the pen and write something small. Do I have to call him first or text him, or can I just take the pen? How about the hat? I forgot my hat, I want to daven minche, I want to borrow my friend's hat. Do I have to ask permission? I'm sure he won't mind, it would be a pleasure for him, for me to use it. Do I have to ask permission or not? How about the siddur, a sefer? Can I use my friend's machzor without asking permission?" Let's perhaps start with a famous Gemara, a machloik is an argument between Abaye and Rove. The Gemara in Bava Metzia speaks about Yirush Shloi Midas. Rove says Yirush Shloi Midas, Have Yirush, and Abaye says Yirush Shloi Midas, Loi Have Yirush. What does that mean? Let's say a person goes to a train station, has a cell phone in his pocket, and it falls out of his pocket. A few minutes later, he realizes the phone is gone. His first reaction is, that's it. He loses his hope, he despairs, which we call Yirush. Through that, he relinquishes his ownership. The phone doesn't belong to him anymore. And every person who sees the phone can take the phone. This is Yirush. What is Yirush Sheloi Midas? Let's take it a step further. The person comes at 9 o'clock in the morning at the train station with his cell phone. The cell phone falls out of his pocket. He takes the first train. At 10 o'clock, he looks for his phone and he sees the phone is not there. Again, he loses his hope to find it ever back. Who will find the phone in the train station back? He despairs and he relinquishes his ownership at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, what happens when a person comes at 9:30, sees the phone, and wants to take the phone? Now, the owner did not yet know that he lost his phone. So he didn't actually lose his hope. He saw the phone still in his pocket. Do we say that we rely on he will later lose his hope, and relinquish his ownership, and therefore at 9:30 I can take the phone? Oh no, do I have to wait till this happens? After 10 o'clock, when he lost his hope, I can take the phone. But not before. And this is an argument between Abaye and Rove, Machloikes. Rove says, Yirush Loi Midas, Have Yirush. There's no problem for you to take the phone at 9:30, because you know, whenever he'll find out that the phone is gone, he will despair. Abaye says, no. Even though it's true, he will despair at the later stage, but as long as he didn't do that, he did not relinquish his ownership. And therefore, you have to wait till he realizes he lost his phone, and only afterwards can you take the phone. Now, usually when we have an argument, machloket between Abaye and Rove, the halacha is like Rove. There are six exceptions. Sorry. Right. So usually the halacha is like Ruvin. There are six exceptions, and this is one of these six exceptions. Here the halacha is like Abaye, Yush, Loi Midas, Loi Have Yush, you have to wait till he actually loses his hope, despairs, and only afterwards can you take the hope. Now the Gemara tells us an interesting story. The Gemara tells us a story about three Amiruim, Ameimar, Mazutrin, Ravashi. Three rabbis, three Amiruim, went and visited the field. Iklu de Bustane de Muri Bar Isik. They visited the field of Muri Bar Isik, who was the owner of this field. Aisu Arisei Tamre Verimoine. The Oris, the worker, the employee, Oris is not a regular worker. Usually a worker gets a fixed check at the end of the month. But Oris has a part in the produce, 20%, 30%. At the end of the season, they share the profits. So this Oris brought in front of these three Amoroim fruits, tamurim, dates, remoinim, pomegranate. And two of the three Amoroim enjoyed the fruit. However, Mazutre did not touch the food. He didn't eat the food. Something bothered him, he did not feel it's right to eat the food. A short while later, the owner, Muri Bar Isik, comes to his field, and he sees that the Oris, his worker, gave them some fruits, and he says, such a pity, why didn't you give them better quality fruits? You gave them these regular fruits, you should have given them something proper, something better. So these two Amoroim look at Mazutre and say, you see, now definitely you can eat, why don't you eat now? So he says, you're right, the owner said he's happy for us to eat the fruits. But maybe he was embarrassed. He said it out of embarrassment. He didn't really mean it. He didn't really want us to eat the food. What should he say? Should he say, why did you give it to them? He was embarrassed. But he's not happy for us to eat the fruits. This is the story of the Gemara. Now, when we see the story, it seems to be exactly our question. Can you use someone else's property without permission? These fruits did not belong to the worker, they belonged to Muri Bar Isik. And these Amoroim had a question, can I eat these fruits? Two of them were sure the owner would be happy for them to do so. Mazutre was not so sure. And even afterwards, when the owner said, why didn't you take better fruits? Yeah, maybe he was out of embarrassment, but he wasn't really happy for them to eat these fruits. But what would be the case if it wouldn't be Muri Bar Isik? It would be a good friend of theirs. And they would know for sure he's very happy for us to eat the fruits. Seems to be they would have no problem whatsoever eating these fruits. They didn't ask permission, they didn't call him yet. But they assumed whenever he'll come, he'll agree, he'll be happy for them to eat the fruit, and this is enough. However, Tosis says, not so fast. Tosis seems to say that we just learned before about Yushloimidas. And Tosis says using someone else's property without permission is exactly the same case as Yushloimidas. What was the case of Yushloimidas? The person loses his phone at 9 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, he realizes it, he despairs, and he relinquishes ownership. Only later on, only at 10 o'clock. Now, we have a question, can I pick up the phone at 9:30? Because I know that he would later relinquish his ownership. And the halacha is like Abaye, no, you have to wait till he actually does that. And as long as he didn't do that, you cannot use the phone. Now, this is exactly the same case. I want to use something without permission. I know that at a later stage, the owner will be very happy for me to do so. But he didn't do that yet. He didn't relinquish his ownership yet from this tissue, let it be a pen, a hat, a safer. Therefore, I cannot use these objects without waiting for his permission, even though I know for sure it will come later. But just like Yerushalayimidas, he has to wait till he actually loses his hope. Here also you have to wait till he actually gives you permission and then you can use these objects. If so, Tosis asks, why did two of these Amoroim, why did they eat the fruits if they didn't ask permission? Says Tosis, you remember the worker wasn't a regular worker, he was an Oris, and therefore he had a share in the produce, and he relied on later when they would share between them, and the owner would keep 80% and he would give 20% to his worker, the worker would say, I only take 19% because 1% I gave already to these two amoruim. And Mazutra was scared maybe he might not do that. But in a case where it would be a regular worker, says Tosfos, no question about it, you cannot use any other people's property without permission. You have to ask first. After they gave permission, you can use these things. So it seems to be quite a straightforward answer to our question. The Shach, however, in Choshe Mishpat, quotes this Tosfos and disagrees. He says there's a very big difference between the case of Yerushaloi Midas, between the case of a person losing something, and the case of using something without permission. What is the difference? It's a very simple difference. The person sitting on the train, who realized his phone is gone, he despairs. Is he happy to do so? Is he happy to relinquish his ownership? If he would know that Yankel found the phone half an hour ago, he would call straight to Yankel and would say, please give me the phone back. He's not happy to do that. But what can he do? If you lose a phone in a train station, the chances are almost zero that you'll find it back. And therefore, against his will, he despairs and relinquishes his ownership. So because it's something which he does not want to do, we won't do it for him before. Once he relinquishes his ownership, once it happens, then of course you can take the phone. But as long as it didn't happen yet, why should we do it for him? Why should we say at 9:30, it will happen later? So let's retroactively use his despair already now. But in the case of using fruits, eating the fruits, if the owner would be happy for them to do so, it wouldn't be against his will. It would be an honor for him, a privilege. He would be very happy to do so. If he's happy for you to use them, then perhaps we say it goes retroactively, and perhaps we say that already from the second you want to use it, you can rely now what will happen later. You can rely now that later on he will be happy for you to use the items, if it's a tissue, if it's a pen, if it's a hat, if it's a safer, if it's fruits, and therefore you could use it. So there's an argument of machlokes between Tosfos and the Shach. Can you use someone else's items without permission? Tosfos says, just like Yerushaloi Midas doesn't work, just like Yerushaloi Midas, you have to wait till he actually loses his hope. You have also to wait till the person actually gives permission and relinquishes his ownership. The Shach says, no, here where it's something which is not against his will, it's something which he's happy for you to do so, you can straight away enjoy, take the tissue, take the pen, as long as you are sure, you have no doubts whatsoever, he'll be happy for you to do so. However, there seems to be exceptions where Tosfos would agree that you could use the items without permission. I used to live in Germany, in Berlin, and we had this small community of 75 families. Now, you can imagine 75 families, it's not worthwhile for people to come and collect tzedakah there. But from time to time, every so often, we had a person who came from it, he saw it from different places, and he collected some money for tzedakah for charity. Once such a person came, and he joined us for Shachris. Now, Shachris is not Machzika Das. There are no 10 millionim or 20 millionim. There are no hundreds and thousands of people who come every day. If you are lucky, you have 15 or 20 people who are there by Shachris. So he came there, he did his round, he collected a few pennies, a few euros, and he wasn't really satisfied with what he collected. So he had a brilliant idea. In the same building, it was also a kindergarten with almost 100 children. And the mothers would pick up their children at the end of the day. So he waited when the mothers came to pick up their children. He waited there. And he tried his luck with the woman. Like we know, women are usually more generous than the men. And probably he made more than in the morning. Someone approached me and asked, is this correct? Was he allowed to do so? Was he allowed of collecting these donations from the woman? So the truth is, it's a Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara says, the end of Baba Kama, Gaboi Tzedoke, people who collect charity, or maybe they need themselves a charity, Loi krimem dovo muot veloi avaloi dovo muot. A small donation they can collect, a large donation they can't. Says the Gemara, yeah, but Ravina went to a place which is called Mechoizo, and the women gave him golden jewels. This doesn't seem to be a small donation, and he accepted it. How could he? Answers the Gemara, no, for Bnei Mechoizo this is called a small donation. Seemingly they were very wealthy and very generous, and golden jewels was a small donation. But what the Gemara is saying, you can collect from women small donation, but no large donations. There's a famous story of one of the Rosh Yeshivas. His yeshiva was in great despair, he needed funds, and he got a nice donation from a woman. On the one hand, he wanted very much to use his donation because he desperately needed it. On the other hand, he wasn't sure, did the husband know of this donation being given? He decided to take the money, send it back. During this, while this was happening, the husband found out that his wife gave this donation. He didn't know of it, and he shared his feelings with her. Obviously, he wasn't very happy. Now, during the conversation, someone knocks at the door. He opens the door. There's a postman, brings the envelope back. He opens the envelope. He sees the donation and a small letter. The Rosh Yeshiva writes, "I thank you very, very much for this generous donation. It's really kind of you. However, since I'm not convinced that your husband is aware of that, I cannot accept this donation," just like we learned here in the Gemara. The end of the story goes, the husband was so impressed that he sent the money back to the yeshiva. So what is the reason for that? Why can we collect a small donation from the woman and not a large donation? The Torah brings the Rosh who explains it. The money the woman has is actually not her money. It belongs to her husband. Now in a case where the wife is supporting the family, it might be different. But in a regular case where the husband is supporting the family, the money she has belongs to her husband. Now she cannot use the money for something the husband would not agree. We assume small donations, the husband would agree. Large donations, maybe yes, maybe not. If we are not sure, we have to ask permission before, and we cannot give this donation. Now, what is a small donation? Every place is different. Every situation is different. The Poskim write about a fundraising event, where women are invited to this event, and if they give a small donation of 1 or 2 pounds, I don't think the people organizing this fundraising event will be very happy. Could they accept larger donations or not? So the Poskim writes that we assume that the husband is aware that his wife is going to a fundraising event, and we assume that the husband is aware that he can't get away with 1 or 2 pounds at a fundraising event, and therefore we can accept larger donations in such a situation. But the halacha is very clear. Wherever we assume we take on, it's a small donation, considered these circumstances, you could accept it. If there are large donations, you cannot accept it. The Noit Behuda was asked an interesting question about a couple where the husband did not give as much charity as he should have. His wife didn't like it, so she took that matters in hand and she gave out charity. The Noit Behuda was asked, can they accept this money or not? On the one hand, he's not happy for her to give the money. On the other hand, he doesn't give as much tzedukah as he should have. At the Noit Behuda writes, there's no question about it. This would be considered stealing, geneva. You cannot accept money from the woman without her husband's permission. The rabbi wanted to prove his case from the story of David HaMelech, who was running away in the forest, and he asked money from Nabal to support him and his men. Nabal refused. Abigail, the wife of Nabal, sent him a generous donation and he accepted the donation. So we see that if the husband doesn't give the donations, the wife can do it for him. Says Noit Behuda, no, this might be a different reason. Perhaps he was very, very large and very generous towards his wife and he allowed her to do whatever she wants with the money, but he didn't want to give direct charity. Now, let's think about this case. Isn't giving tzedakah exactly the same case as using a tissue without permission? The money belongs to the husband. It's not her money. She gives a small donation to the poor person because the husband would be happy for her to do so. But he didn't give permission yet. She didn't call him before. She didn't text him and ask, can I please give this £2 for tzedakah? So how can she give the small donation? Okay, the large donation he might not agree, but the small donation which he would agree. Why doesn't she have to ask first permission? So according to the Shach, it's perfect. That's what the Shach is saying. If you know for sure the owner would agree, there's no need for you to ask permission. But according to Tosfos who said, it's exactly the same case as Yerushalayim Midas, as long as you actually didn't ask permission. You cannot use the items. How can the poor person collect even £1 without her asking the husband before? The Baal HaTanya in Shulchan Aruch Rav answers this question. And he says, brilliantly, there's a big difference. In the case of charity, in the case of the woman having the money of her husband, when was the permission given? Was the permission given in a later stage? Was the permission given later, and therefore we say, you have to wait for the permission, and don't assume that because you receive permission later, you can use it already now? No. When the husband came home and gave her the money, much before she met even the poor person, he gave her permission to use the money for whatever the custom is to do so. He might have not said it, maybe it was even subconsciously, but he didn't tell her, £1 for milk, a half a pound for the bread. He gave the money and said whatever the custom, or he didn't say, but that's what he meant to say, whatever the custom is, whatever is regular, you can use the money for. And then when a day later the poor person comes, and she gives this pound to the poor person, she received permission much before. In such a case, even Tosfos would agree that he could use this object without permission. Imagine the case of yeshiva buchim who sleep in a room. Now they're different yeshivas, they're different rooms, and they're different buchim. But in some of the cases, the practice common, the minig in this room is, whoever brings something in the room, whatever food is to be found in the room, is to be shared between the boys in the room. If this is the case, so when a person brings a bottle of Coke to the room, he gives already permission now. It could be he doesn't think about it, it's subconsciously. But if this is the regular meaning, he gives permission now for these items to be used. The same applies if a box of tissues. If this is the meaning, this is the tradition, this is what happens in the shul, that you usually don't bring a box of tissues unless you put it there for everyone to be used. If so, you could use it without asking permission. So this is the first exception, even though the Tosfos says usually you should ask permission, where it's a very clear custom, you don't have to ask permission. Now, there seems to be a second exception where Tosfos would agree that you don't have to ask permission. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Yud Aleph says the following. Mute litoil talis chaveiroi ulevorech oleo. A person can borrow his friend's talis. He came to shul, he forgot his talis. He could take the talis of his friend and use it. Uvilvat sheikapel oiso imotzo mekupeles. But put it back the same way you found it. Just don't just throw it there. If it was folded, put it back folded, and then he can use the talis. Says the Ramo, v'chein tefillin. Tefillin is exactly the same. Tefillin also can be used without asking permission. Says the Ramo, Avol also lilmoid misfurim shel chaveiroi. But you can't use books throwing from your friend beloidatoi without him giving you permission. Why the chashinon shema yikorea? Maybe it would be torn. You would damage these books, and therefore you have to ask permission. So talis and tefillin, yes, and tzvurim, not. What is the reason for that? So the poskim write, there is a klal, that nichelei leinish delevid mitzvah bevamoyle. A person is happy, he's satisfied, he wants people to take his property and use it for a good cause. Why do you all have property? Why do you all have belongings? To serve Hashem, to do mitzvahs with it. To say over the famous vote of Meir Primishlan, he said, if you will take all prayers of a person and you'll squeeze them out, you look at the essence, what is the person really asking for? He asks lots of things, but what does he really want? If you squeeze out all the prayers, you'll find one thing, says the Meir Primishlan. Money. He wants panusa, money, that's the bottom line. However, if you'll take the panusa of a yid and you'll squeeze out the money and whatever a person owns, what does he do with it? He pays school fees, he supports his family, he helps others. Mitzvahs, ma'asim tovim. So this is the essence of what every person wants, and that's what he means when he prays. He wants to do rutzen haboyim. Having said that, a person is happy. We assume a person is happy that his property should be used in a constructive way and being doing a mitzvah with it. Therefore, talis and tefillin, you don't need to ask permission because the owner definitely will be happy for you to do so. Svorim is a bit different because they might get ruined. This is already different. It's important to notice the poskim write that today things have changed. I'm not sure if all of us here would be happy for every stranger to use our tefillin and to use our talis. And therefore this is only an assumption in the times of Shulchan Aruch, it was this way, that a person will be happy for you to do so. However, today the poskim write, you should be careful because not everyone would be happy for you to do so. And perhaps Svorim is easier today, Svorim are so cheap, they're easy to replace, maybe people wouldn't mind. But let's go on the assumption and discuss the case of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, an object of a mitzvah, you know for sure the owner will be happy for you to use it, and you can use it without permission. Now, if we think about it, this fits with the opinion of the Shach. You know the owner will be happy for you to use it, so go ahead and use it. Usually I'm not sure, does he allow me using a tissue or not? But for a mitzvah, item of a mitzvah, you have no question, he definitely would agree. But did he give permission yet? He didn't. And we're not talking about the talis which is put away for people who forgot their talis. We talk about the private talis. The custom is not to use it. He didn't give permission yet. Using it on the assumption he would give later permission. According to Tosfos, don't you need to ask permission first? How can we use this assumption and say, yeah, because he would agree later on, he could use it now. That's later on, but how can he use it now? There seems to be different answers for this question. The Shulchan Aruch Rav seems to hold the following difference. There are two types of items. There are such items which get consumed, which are used up. Let's take the case of the fruits. Once you eat the fruits, they're gone. That's it. You have different items which are not gone. A talis, hopefully, after using it once and not drinking coffee with it, it should be reusable afterwards. If the items are not, don't diminish its value, they stay the same, then even Tosfos would agree that you could use them now already. Only such an item which it gets used up, like the fruit, like perhaps taking a tissue, using a pen, then Tosfos would say, wait and ask permission. However, such an item which doesn't get used up, let's take the example of a hat. It doesn't get used up. You know for sure your friend will be happy for you to use it, then even Tosfos would agree you could use this hat. So to summarize what we saw today. Using someone else's property without permission. Is it allowed? Can I use a tissue? Can I use a pen? Can I use a hat? Can I use a safer? Can I use any object without permission? So number one is, be sure that the owner really wouldn't mind. If you have the slightest of doubt, you're not sure, no question about it, you cannot use it. But we talk in a case where you know the person, or there's a clear assumption that this person would definitely be very happy for you to use it. The Shach says, go ahead, use it. Tosfos says, no, you have to ask permission first. However, there are two cases where everyone seemingly would agree that you can use them. The first one is where the permission was given already earlier, like the case of the husband giving the money to his wife, and then if this is the clear custom, she can use it for this reason we spoke about, yeshiva buchim. And the second exception is, according to the Shulchan Aruch Rav, where the value doesn't get diminished, where it's something which stays, like a hat, like other objects. I saw a beautiful story talking about a woman using her husband's money, talking about Yerushalayim Midas. After the Second World War, many people were shattered. They lost everything. They despaired. One of them was Rav Yaakov Kamenetz. And he approached the Chazon Ish for words of guidance, words of support. And he told the story to the Chazon Ish. Patiently the Chazon Ish waited, listened, and told him, I want to share with you a story. A story that happened in Kovna. And he said, there was a man, his panusa was, he used to borrow money, and he used to travel to the big marketplace once a year. He used to buy a lot of goods. He came back, he sold his goods to the prophet, he gave back the money he borrowed, and he had panusa, he could support his family for the year. One year he wasn't well, and he couldn't do that. And if he wasn't well, and he wouldn't go, there wouldn't be any panusa. So, what do you do in such a case? You send your wife. So that's what he did. His wife did the same, collected the money, and went to the marketplace, arrived there, and wanted to buy the goods. Suddenly, she saw she lost the money. The money wasn't there. She panicked. Not only she would have no money to support the family, but she would have to give back the money to the people she borrowed the money from. But what can you do? She was hysterical, but there's nothing to do. After a while, a person approached her and said, did you lose money? Yes, I did. Is this the money you lost? Yeah. Oh, I'll keep it for myself. She said, what do you mean? She said, yeah, you lost money in the marketplace. Most people are Gentiles. The halacha is very clear. If someone loses money in such a place, you can keep the money. Because this is the case of Yush, right? Like we discussed before, the owner is fed, relinquishes ownership, and the person can keep the money. She didn't know what to do. She called the man in front of the Torah, and the Ruv was Rav Yitzchak Elchanan. And she said her side of the story. He said, what's your side of the story? So he said, I totally agree. Everything is true. However, I need the money myself. I have a family to support. Both of us know, you know, I know, the halacha is very clear, I can keep the money, and therefore I'm sorry, I cannot give the money away. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan thought a moment, and then he said, the halacha is, the money belongs to the woman. I was all shocked. How could the rabbi make such a mistake? He said, please explain me, where do you come from? Why do you say so? So he says, we discussed before, the money the woman uses is not her money. It belongs to her husband. Now, who would have to despair? The husband. This is a case of Yush Loi Midas. The husband is not aware yet. It was before the times of mobile phones or regular phones where you could let the husband know what happened. He didn't know yet that you lost the money. Therefore, for sure, he didn't despair yet. Yush loy midas, loy aveyush. We have to wait till the owner relinquishes his ownership and therefore give back the money to the woman and she can go and support her family. Said the Chazon Ish, you should know, our lives is not something which belongs to us. It's a gift we receive from Hashem. Our lives belong to Hashem. Now, something that doesn't belong to you, you have no right whatsoever to despair. Only the owner can despair. As long as Hashem doesn't despair, you can't despair. And this gave him a boost of chizuk, of support, and we know what happened afterwards. Just to finish off with one more story about using someone else's property without permission. There were two neighbors, seemingly very friendly with each other, and one neighbor received newspaper, the New York Times, every day. He opens his door at 7 o'clock in the morning, he takes his newspaper and reads his newspaper, but he has a feeling that someone used the newspaper before him. It's not nicely folded. From time to time he found stains of coffee on the newspaper. There must be someone used it before him. He's very curious who this might be. And next day, instead of getting up at 7, he gets up at 6. He peeks through the window and looks what happens. The postman comes, puts the newspaper down, and 5 minutes later his neighbor comes, takes the newspaper, goes to his home for 45 minutes, reads through the newspaper, has a coffee with it, and afterwards, 5 minutes to 7, puts the newspaper back, tries to fold it the same way, and puts it in front of his door. He was quite shocked to see that, and he decided to surprise his neighbor the next day. Next morning, he gets up again at 6 o'clock, he hears the postman putting newspaper down, and a few minutes later he hears the steps of his neighbor, and just when the neighbor wants to take the newspaper, he opens the door and says, "Excuse me, can I help you?" And he says, "Yes, you could. I just want to borrow the newspaper. Usually you read it at 7 o'clock. I read it before you." He's very shocked and very angry, obviously. And he says, "How could you do that? If you want, ask permission. But just to use it every day without permission." So the neighbor says, "I don't understand you. You don't lose anything out by that. You read your newspaper at 7 o'clock. You don't lose out. I enjoy. How can you be so unfriendly and how can you not let me use the newspaper?" You can imagine the tension going on between both neighbors. So he decides, he calls up his rabbi to ask advice, to ask what aluch is, how much can he ask, how much money can he ask back. He calls the rabbi, he tells him the story, the rabbi listens, and he says, "Do you want to know what I think?" "Yes, that's why I was calling." He said, "I think that you should call up New York Times, and you should order another yearly subscription for your neighbor." He said, "Perhaps the rabbi didn't understand the story." He started saying the story over again, and he said, "Yes, yes, I understood the story. That's what I think. And I'll explain you why." The Chofetz Chaim taught us, we all put aside sums of money to perform mitzvahs, for dalet minim, for other purposes. Now, one of these mitzvahs are not to get into machloikas, into arguments. Will cost you a bit of money, but you'll have a smiling neighbor, and it's worthwhile. That's my advice. You can go for a fight, but I think you should do that. He decided to listen to his rabbi. He called up the New York Times, and he bought a yearly subscription for his neighbor. And since then, his neighbor received every day the newspaper as well. Now, he said he was very happy that he listened to his rabbi, because not only did he have a smiling neighbor, not only were they good friends, but he also had a daily clean newspaper without any coffee stains. Thank you very much. Yeah.